In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells St. Peter that he will give him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The keys, if we go back to the 22nd chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, they are the symbol of the prime minister. The prime minister runs the day-to-day life of the kingdom. Jesus obviously is the king. St. Peter then was made the prime minister. The prime minister was an office of succession. When one would die or be removed from office, the keys would be taken from him. They would be given to somebody else. The keys demonstrated that this was somebody who actually was able to speak with the authority of the king, which is why Jesus said, whatever you hold bound on earth will be held bound in heaven, and vice versa, because the keys symbolized that the prime minister could unlock any door or he could lock any door. And so he could speak for the king. He wore the king's signet ring to be able to make official pronunciations, and he was able, therefore, to run the kingdom as the king had his things that he had to do. That hasn't changed. It's exactly what is to be happening. However, we all know that some of the things that are going on right now are a little difficult. And when we look, for example, and as St. Peter himself talks about, the way that the presbyters, the elders, the priests, are supposed to be examples to the people. How often do we see that? Sometimes the example given is not a good one. And oftentimes, even coming out of Rome and even from the office of the Pope himself, the example is sometimes not a good one. And so we look at that and say, well, how can this be? Remember that when we talk about the keys, the ability to open and to close, to lock and unlock, that's ultimately dealing with doctrine. There is no guarantee that the Pope is going to be a good example. The Pope is a sinner just like the rest of us. The Pope has to go to confession just like the rest of us. And so there are going to be popes that are not going to be holy. We've had plenty of them. In fact, you can look at a few of them, Alexander VI, Nicholas II, a few others. They're some of the most wretched, despicable human beings that have ever walked the face of the earth. They made it to the papal office. And you'd say, well, why would God allow somebody who's not holy? Why would God allow somebody who is so horrible to get to the papacy? If you look in the Old Testament, I think you're going to see the answer. What God does is, as the people begin to stray from God, he raises up corrupt political officials with the idea that the people, seeing the corruption among the politicians, would see what they themselves are doing and say, we need to change. But instead, the people tend to follow the corrupt politicians because they look at them and say, hey, they're doing the same kind of stuff as me. This is great. So then what God does is raises up corrupt officials within the church. Because then people should certainly be able to see that, wait a minute, if there's this kind of corruption there, look what's happened to the faith. Look at what these people are doing. I need to get my act together. But instead, what do we find? The people rejoice in that. Because after all, the corrupt officials make it a whole lot easier. For us, trying to live the Catholic faith, we know is not always a simple thing. And we want to fit in, and we want to be like everyone else. And if only the church would change her teachings on a few things, it would make things a whole lot easier to accept. And that's exactly what these people do. They water things down. They try to make it more acceptable to secular society. When the question comes back, who is Jesus? Who do you say that I am? Obviously, we're not believing that he's God, because we're saying that his teachings can change. We're saying that we don't have to believe everything that he taught. We're saying that he was just somebody like us who's fallible. Or some of the other stupid arguments like, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Things have changed now. No, the truth hasn't changed, and the truth can't change. And so the purpose, then, of the papacy is to uphold that truth, to speak that truth, to present that truth. But when the people follow corrupt religious leaders, God will then raise up more corrupt political leaders, and everything crashes. That's where we're at. Everything is coming close to a crash because we have leaders who are corrupt in society as well as in the church. The Vatican is filled with despicable people. Yeah, there are some really good people. There are some very holy people. There are a lot of them that you don't want to know. You wouldn't want your kids to even meet them. They're rotten. They're horrible. And yet they're cardinals and they're bishops and they're archbishops and whatever they may be. We see what God is doing, raising these people up to call the rest of us to a deeper conversion, raising these people up to be able to see the dichotomy between what is right and what is wrong, to be able to recognize what the teaching of Christ are and what they are not, and to be able to reject those things that are not true. We should be able to look to the leaders to be the example. We should be able to look to the leaders to be the ones who are setting things correct. It's not happening. Yes, thanks be to God, there are a few cardinals that are speaking up and doing what they ought. Not many. And so what we need to do is to be able to say, while maintaining proper respect for the offices, we simply need to look to Jesus. We need to look to what the church has always taught, because those things cannot change. And we need to keep our focus where it belongs. Be very, very careful not to go along with the corruption because something is easier now, or finally somebody is saying the same thing that I'm thinking, or whatever it might be. If we're thinking something different from what Jesus thinks, we're off track. So we need to get our act together. That's where we're at right now. And since we don't have very many good examples among the bishops and the priests, be that example yourself. Go out into the world and be the example to your family, be the example to your friends, be the example to the people at work. Let your light shine, as Jesus said, so that people will recognize that difference. They will give glory to God. Most people just want to go along. They just want to fit in. They just want to be like everyone else. We're living in a situation of thorough corruption. And if we want to be like everyone else, we're going to be accepting the corruption. We need to reject it. We need to reject it outright. We need to embrace the truth, and we need to live the truth. But then we need to be careful. Don't live the truth with anger. Don't live the truth with pride. Live the truth with charity. That's what it must be. That's the example. Not simply, I have the truth and you don't, but in charity. Because so many people honestly don't know. They haven't been taught. They just don't know. And so if you're going to be an example, it's not the truth merely that's the example. It's the charity. It's the way we act. It's the way that we treat others. That's where it has to be. And so all of these things the Lord set up in his church. But right now, if this is a time of testing, and it is, a lot of that is falling apart. We're guaranteed that the jaws of hell won't prevail. We know that. But in the meantime, the people that we should be able to look forward to, for example, it's not happening. And therefore, the Lord is going to ask people like you and me to be that example, to be able to live the faith in love.